Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon. A rare thunderstorm swept across part of the North Shore earlier today. God, that had to feel nice. As I've said today, you know, just I'm so bored with this weather just being the same. It's just brutally hot. It's mid-September and no rain, just the same old thing. I'm ready for a change. I want to change. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, when I was on the air in San Diego and lived there, beautiful city, the weather was nice every day. But coming from this area, I'm used to thunderstorms. I'm used to changing weather. And so I got a little antsy when the weather didn't change. It was like nice every day. And I just could not wait to come back to New Orleans and see a thunderstorm, which I did as often as I could. So, this weather just being the same for so long is just boring. I'm ready for a change. We've been talking a lot about the mayor's race, and we'll be talking more about that between now and October the 11th. And you've heard in our news that there are enough undecided voters that Helena Moreno may not win this in the first election. There may end up being a primary. And I just think that if you're white, don't vote for Helena Moreno just because she's white. If you're black, don't vote for one of the black candidates just because they're black. We have to get over this skin color thing and realize that we just have to vote for the best candidate. And again, we'll continue to talk about that and the idea that we all need to vote. This is so important, and we've had such a rough 8 years with LaToya Cantrell in office that I would hope that we come close to breaking a record with turnout. We just really, really need to get out in massive numbers and vote. It's just an important statement, and it's a statement to the politicians as well. So again, we've got time to talk about that, but it's something we will definitely talk about. So the Charlie Kirk assassination has been a lot more than just the assassination of a popular figure, popular but controversial. It has brought us to a point where we're really starting to examine the hate at a time when hate is ramping up. And I wrote a blog the other day. It's still on the Scoot page. It's also still on Scoot on the Air Facebook that was about how hate sells. In advertising, sex sells, but hate sells too. And it doesn't seem like it takes that much to ignite the hate that there is in people. And I think people are loving and nice, but we are divided. And we so stand by our candidate or our politicians or our side that we are quick to just violently, verbally react to anybody who disagrees with us. And people have so personalized their politics that they take it so personally. This is something new. It didn't used to be like this. For those of you Xers, and especially millennials and Zoomers, it wasn't like this. There was a time when you know, we were passionate about our political views, but it wasn't like this. But it's like this now, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. But we can try to change it. And the blog that I wrote, that's on our website today, also on the SOTA Facebook page, is titled, Who Can Stop the Hate That Invites Violence in America? And the answer is, you and me. We can stop it. But that means that we have to stand up to those people that we have traditionally supported. And if those people spew or support hate, then we need to stand up against them and denounce them. I respect Britt Hume, senior political analyst for the Fox News Channel, who harshly criticized Attorney General Pam Bondi because she said that anybody who speaks hatefully, anybody who participates in hate speech, the government's coming after you. Hate speech in itself is protected by the First Amendment. I don't like it. You don't like it, but it's protected. And we have to understand that. Pam Bondi is now kind of changed and redefining it, but she didn't know that yesterday. She knows it now. And she's talking about how hate speech that is talking about violent action or inciting violent action, that hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. But just saying something that you consider hateful, and the other problem that we have is if something is considered negative about a politician that somebody loves, that's not hate speech. It's just a negative comment. And that doesn't qualify as hate speech. So, you know, we don't even have the definition of hate speech down. The governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, is a Republican. In the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's murder, Spencer Cox has said some really profound things that are an attempt to make us recognize the level of hate in this country and how we need to back off of that. And I don't have time to read you all that I want to read you, but he quoted, not quoted, but he paraphrased Charlie Kirk himself. And Spencer Cox said that Charlie Kirk said, when people stop talking, that's when you get violence. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The only way out of the labyrinth of suffering is to forgive. Welcome without judgment. Love without condition. Forgive without limit. Always forgive your enemies. This is from Charlie Kirk himself. Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. A few months ago, also, Charlie posted on social media, when things are moving very fast, people are losing their minds. It's important to stay grounded. Turn off your phones. Read scripture. Spend time with friends. And remember, internet fury is not real life. It's going to be okay. And Charlie Kirk did not stand for the hate that is now started after his death. The people who are standing up and hating because Charlie Kirk is dead are doing exactly the opposite of what Charlie Kirk stood for. And I'm not an expert on Charlie Kirk, but now I've read enough of what he represented to know that the hate that has followed his death is not Charlie Kirk himself. If you're perpetuating hate for all of the left, then you are defying what Charlie Kirk wanted. And that seems to be very ironic. And Spencer Cox has talked about young people inheriting a country where politics feels like rage, but we can choose a different path. And Governor Cox, a Republican, I remind you, has just reached out and denounced this hate. And he says that, you know, whoever you are, you don't have to hate and follow. You know, you don't have to agree with Charlie Kirk, but you can follow some of the things that he believed. And he did not think that it was okay to be hateful. And now that I think back on the times that I've seen Charlie Kirk on Jubilee and other situations, he's slick. He was slick. He was polished. I don't remember him being hateful. But what's interesting is that Steve Bannon is condemning Utah Governor Spencer Cox and saying he should be investigated. Here's why Steve Bannon doesn't like Spencer Cox. Because Steve Bannon is one of those who is pushing and selling hate. That's part of his shtick. And he's looking to push that. And when somebody like a Republican in the form of a governor of Utah comes along and says sensible, calming things, Steve Bannon gets upset. And he riles against it. And Steve Bannon is saying just, you know, nonsensical things about attacking Governor Spencer, because Steve Bannon is about pushing hate. He's about the conflict. And he's not about coming together. And if you're on the right and you still support Steve Bannon, even though he's pushing hate against somebody that's trying to bring us together, then that's a mistake, in my opinion. I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem to support the haters. And Cox himself has talked about conflict entrepreneurs. Those are the people who benefit from people radicalizing us. Those are the people who benefit from pushing the hate. And it's happening. It has happened, and it's continuing to happen. And I think it's sad, and it's time for everybody to stand up against those who are pushing hate. And when there's an attack on hate speech, that riles people up, because you hate to say it, but it's true. Hate speech is protected by the First Amendment, unless it includes the incitement of violence. And so if we as individuals stand up to those who are pushing the hate, like a Steve Bannon, for example, and it's not because Steve Bannon is a conservative, it's because Steve Bannon is benefiting from the hate. That's his deal. And that's how he gets attention on social media. And even though people are getting rich on social media, that's no reason for us to push that agenda. And by supporting it, we are. And we have to be willing, like Brit Hume on Fox News. Brit Hume stood up to those on Fox News who are agreeing with certain aspects of the hate festival that's going on. He stood up to them. He stood up to the Fox News mantra of, you know, support anything that the president says, or support any of this that the right is saying. He stood up to that. The question is, can you and I stand up to that? I think I can. Can you? Can we stand up and not allow the promotion of hate by supporting those who promote hate? Even if they're on our side, hate is not the answer. And if you get a chance to read more about Spencer Cox, this Republican governor of Utah, I suggest that you do it, because he's not buying into the rhetoric, and he is looking to unite us. He's not selling hate. He's looking to unite us. And somebody like Steve Bannon is condemning him because he doesn't want that. And he especially doesn't want that from a Republican. He wants that from a Democrat so he can get everybody on his side against the Democrats. But this is a Republican who's being criticized for trying to unite us. And uniting us is really the only way. So I hope that we as a country, and we're nothing more than the individuals that make up this country. So as individuals, we do have power. We have to be willing to stand up to the selling of hate. And I'm going to do what I can on this show to do that. And I'm going to be careful not to buy into that myself. And there have been times I've never expressed hate. I've expressed condemnation. I've expressed disagreement. And that should not be perceived or defined as hate because it's not hate. But I'm going to be careful with my own rhetoric on this show. I'm still going to be true to myself, but I'm going to be careful with my own rhetoric. Because I agree with Governor Spencer Cox. We can be united, but we have to be willing to stand up to the haters, even if the haters have been on our side. All right, I'm Scoot. Got to get to a break here. We'll come back with more of your comments here. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 2004, a coroner's report revealed that Rick James had died in August with 9 drugs in his system, including cocaine, methamphetamine, Valium, and Vicodin. You know, any one of those drugs should do the job, but to put all of those drugs and then others in your system, I mean, my God, I mean, who could live through that? So, you know, a lot of people actually just committed suicide through doing drugs. All right, I'm Scoot. Alice Cooper and Judas Priest are in concert tonight on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in the Gulf Coast Coliseum. I think there's still a few tickets on sale. We're going to replay a conversation I had not long ago with Alice in front of the concert, and also to take a break from politics. So that's going to be coming up next on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. He is iconic. He is legendary. He is bizarre. He is Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper, Judas Priest in concert tonight, Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum. My last conversation with Alice was a really good one. And I was Alice's Cyclops when he was in town for Endymion years ago. And, run into each other many times over the years. And, you know, the first thing that had occurred to me when Alice was calling in is I said, the guy's on time. And I said, Alice, if anybody was going to be on time, I knew it would be you.
I'm a stone cold pro.
the last time I saw you was at a record promotion party in 95 in the French Quarter. But the first time I met you was after doing an interview with you in 1976. You were the Grand Marshal of the crew of Endymion in New Orleans. And your manager looked at me and he said, you're just the right size to fit into the Cyclops costume. So I rode in the parade with you. I was the Cyclops right behind you in that entire 4.5 hour ordeal. And I remember being in the car picking you and Cheryl up at the airport, and you guys were recently married. And I remember you were like two kids checking into the hotel.
Yeah, you know what? We're still married, 43 years now, and she's in the show. You'll be seeing her in the show. She plays the nurse, and she plays the ragdoll ballerina in the show, and she does all the high harmonies, and looks better now than she did then. So. So it's like the show still goes on as being Yeah. You know, some people like Chuck Rock. I think it's just pure Alice Cooper. Every night is Halloween with us. So, you know, and on top of it, it's the best touring band I've ever had. So this band is beyond great when it comes to the music.
You're such an interesting person to me, because in the times that I have met you, it's such a contrast with your antics on stage, the guillotines, the electric chairs, the fake blood, the executions, the simulating of chopping off the heads of babies. When you first heard criticism of someone like Marilyn Manson, I mean, you had to laugh, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I know Marilyn very well, you know, and all he did was just sort of up the ante to make the parents angry. The truth is that, you know, now everybody comes to an Alice Cooper show. Grandparents, parents, and kids all come. Three generations come because they all like hard rock. I mean, they're all way into hard rock. And basically, people come to a show to hear the songs. They want to hear 18 and School's Out and Billion Dollar Babies and Poison and, you know, I mean, all those songs. And this band, my drummer just won Best Band, Drummer in Rock and Roll. My female guitar player just won Best Female Guitarist in Rock and Roll.
I saw her when you were here last at the Sanger. She's amazing.
Yeah, Hurricane Nita Strauss. And then Ryan Roxie, one of the premier guitarists in rock and roll. You know, I mean, it's just the band is so good that the actress is just like icing on top of the cake.
Well, and as much as you're into hard rock, and as much as you had that image, you had a couple of ballads like You and Me that were huge successes.
You know, it was very funny how that worked. It was during the what I call the disco plague, where they would only play disco on rock radio. And so bands like Kiss and Aerosmith and Alice Cooper, the only songs they would play of ours would be the ballads. And so I had like four ballad hits in a row. I had I Never Cry, Only Women Bleed, You and Me, and How You Gonna See Me Now, all top 10 ballads. And I'm sitting there going, I don't want to be known as a ballad. I'm a rocker. You know, finally, when all the ballads went away, you know, when disco went away, they started playing the hard rock again.
The controversy with Alice Cooper appears to date back to 1969 and the Toronto Rock and Roll Revival. You were opening up for John Lennon. Somebody put a chicken on stage. You thought chickens could fly, so you literally threw the chicken into the crowd. It didn't fly. The chicken fell down into the crowd, and they literally ripped up the live chicken. There was blood. Word spread that you bit the head off the chicken. That was the best thing that actually could have happened to you.
Well, because people were so willing to believe that I was this geek, you know, that rock and roll was very tame at the time. You know, everything was peace and love and wonderfulness and brotherly love. And look at the rainbows and the unicorns. And here comes the villain of rock. Here, you know, I looked at it and said, with all these heroes, where's the villain? Alice Cooper should be the villain. And so I became basically the Captain Hook, you know. And so people were so willing to believe that I tore this chicken apart that it made national, international press, you know. And I was immediately dubbed right then the, you know, the most dangerous person in rock and roll. They were probably right.
And there was great controversy in the UK. There were attempts to ban your concerts and your music, and that only made your popularity even greater.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you tell a country they can't go see something, that's the golden ticket. I mean, immediately then, everybody bought tickets. We sold out Wembley so quick. The record went right to number one. You know, and then the thing about it is that's great. That's a great hype. Now, with that hype, you have to deliver. And what happened was we came in and did our show, and it was more than they expected. It was more diabolical and more theatrical than they ever expected. So we lived up to our hype.
Alice, what was it about you as a kid, or what did you see in yourself as a teenager that you can now look back on and see this is what led to the character of Alice Cooper?
Well, you know, first of all, I grew up during the British invasion. I mean, those were the years my most, musically, the Beatles, the Stones, the Yardbirds, the Who. I loved all that. We learned all that kind of music. And then I said, why can't we take this further? Why can't we now add visuals to this? I think it's because that my generation grew up on sort of on television, on, you know, you go to the movies on Saturday and there would be the creature from the Black Lagoon. It came from outer space and Forbidden Planet. And it would be, we would spend all day watching these movies. And I always kind of just thought horror and comedy are very close together. Mm-hmm. Because the movies were so absurd. And I, that's what I do in my show. Horror and comedy are very, very close in this. And it's all held together by the rock and roll.
Is music responsible for inspiring real-world violence?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think that when you want to look at what inspires violence, it's usually home life. You know, if a kid sees his father being violent, or if a kid is has a really sort of vicious home life, I think he's going to reflect that. You know, I did not have a vicious home life at all. My parents were great. There was nothing like that going on in our family. I just saw the opportunity to create a character that was going to be fun to play. You know, I never wanted to be the hero. I always wanted to be the villain that was sort of the wisecracking villain. And I think that's what Alice ended up being.
Politically, you've been described as conservative, but I get more of a sense that you're moderate. But in the context of the world of rock, I guess that makes you conservative.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm, everybody just looks at me and goes, well, if you're in rock and roll or if you're an actor, you're a liberal. You know, I'm like you said before, I am much more of a moderate. I don't vote for a party. I vote for the candidate. You know, if I think the candidate is cool. In other words, when we were in a shooting war with, you know, in the Middle East, well, you don't want a poodle in office. You want a pit bull. You know, I mean, why would you want to go in there?
Right.
You want to win it, don't you?
Yeah, well, you've really described the basis of this show. In a world where there's so much right-wing conservative talk radio, this really does fit the show that we do here every afternoon. Alice, you went through a tough time with drinking. When I checked into the hotel with you and Cheryl, it was the Marie Antoinette at the time, and I remember the refrigerator was filled. Every shelf was filled with Budweiser. In fact, I arranged for you to play golf with Joe Gannon and everybody else and a friend of mine, Vincent. We played golf at a country club that was closed, but they opened it up for you guys. I drove the Budweiser beer golf cart. So this was a big part of your life. And then whiskey became part of this, and you went through a tough time.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you never just stay at one thing. You know, I didn't really realize I was drifting into alcoholism, because when you're in a band, you know, you drink with the boys every day. You drink beer with the boys, and that's just part of it. I didn't realize that it was medicine. I didn't realize that I had turned the corner and become now attached to me until it was way too late. But then when I did find out, when I got up one morning and threw up blood and went to the hospital and, you know, haven't had a drink since. I mean, 35 years it's been, I think, since I've had a drink. Because I realized that, you know, it was running me. I wasn't running it. But at the time, I didn't really realize that I was that much a slave to the bottle. And I think that's most alcoholics don't really realize they're alcoholics till it's too late.
So what advice do you have for people right now who are struggling with some kind of an addiction?
Well, they definitely need to get help. First of all, you have to recognize the fact that it is a disease. In other words, you can have a couple of beers after work. And that's great. I can't do that. If I have a couple of beers, I can't put it down. It becomes so much a part of me that I have to have more and more and more till it becomes a constant, like a chain smoker, you know. So that's not normal. You know, it's just not normal to be like that. Yeah. So I have to avoid alcohol or any kind of addictive painkillers or anything like that, because I have an addictive personality.
But you're leading a happy life, and you're still a rock and roller.
Oh, by far. Yeah. And people seem to think that also if you become a Christian, you suddenly become this milquetoast guy that can't rock at all. Well, I think I've kind of proved that you can do both. You know, I think the Lord gave me the talent I have, and he says, go be a rock and roller, but also follow me.
As a born-again Christian, does that conflict with anything that you do on stage as Alice Cooper?
No, I've examined it very, very closely. What I do on stage is pure theater. Rock and roll does not belong to the devil. I don't know how he got his hands on it. Some of it does, I would say, you know. But I think if it's quality and it's really good, it probably belongs to the Lord.
I've got a text here that wants to know, was Groucho Marx really one of your best friends?
Oh, yeah. Groucho and I were very best friends. And, you know, he was just sort of, you know, how great is it when you have Groucho Marx calling you up at 2 in the morning saying, I can't sleep. Come on over. And I go over there and we watch old movies. You know, I mean, it was pretty cool.
Well, I'm sure
I think he connected with me somehow, yeah, where he saw the vaudeville in what I was doing. And he kind of really, he would bring Fred Astaire and Mae West and Jack Benny and George Burns and people like that to the show. You know, just because it was, they all related to the vaudeville part of it.
Alice, we've got to jump on our next call.
All right. I appreciate you talking with us. I will see you. I will see you tomorrow night in Biloxi.
Thanks a lot, man. It'll be good to see you.
All right, Alice. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, my last conversation with Alice Cooper tonight. Alice Cooper on stage with Judas Priest at the Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Yeah, a lot happening on the show today, but I like to take a break from the politics and all this other stuff whenever we can, and had a chance to do it by replaying that interview with Alice. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WW.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, on this day in 1984, the TV show Miami Vice, as I mentioned, debuted nationwide. And, you know, this was a couple of years after MTV went on the air. And this show really became a big promoter of music. And here was another song and artist who got a lot of attention on Miami Vice, Glenn Frey. You belong to the city. I'm Scoot. Let's go to James on the North Shore. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thanks for having me back on, Scoot. Man, I have a lot of things to get to, but I guess I'll start with this. As you know, like I said before, I do my AI videos, and I have a lot of metal musical in it. And I put them on your page, and I just want to let you know, just man-to-man and people listening who might see my videos on your page, that none of that is a hate. It might be seem a little negative. Sometimes I might use depictions of Steve Miller turning into the devil, but that ain't hate. I don't hate the guy.
That's comedy.
I don't like the policy he has, but this is nothing about hate, man. This is kind of like my therapy. When I make those videos, it's like therapy for me. It just helps me make the video, listen to some music, put it together, yeah, and put it on a thing. And look, in the past, since last week, all my videos have been with the American flag, waving flags, Leonard Skinner music. It's more of a positive. I mean, because like I said last week, that hurt.
No,
I was shot. back in 2020, I mean, in 2000, I was shot. And I was shot about 6 inches away from where Charlie was shot. And so I could feel that. I was shot in my armpit. I can absolutely feel it. And I've seen a video that I did not want to see. It was on Facebook. I didn't ask to see that video. I didn't want to see it. It came up on my Facebook, and it just started playing. Yeah. I hate it having to see that video. That hurts my heart.
Well, James, a lot of people think that if you say something negative, that's hate. And it's not. It's just negative. And people need to just not be so personal when it comes to politics.
Yeah, I had a friend call my I did a post the other day, and I had my friend and my aunt comment on this post. Now, my aunt did post something that was incorrect, and my friend called her retarded, you know, a couple curse words and all that.
All right, well,
and I said,
okay.
Hey, yeah, and I just told him, hey, look, man, I'm all for free speech. You can say what you want. Just don't make it violent, you know. Look, y'all, we're all adults here.
James,
you can curse her out. I'm not going to get upset. We're adults
I'm going to have to get to a break. You said there were a couple things you wanted to talk about. Just focus on the one thing that's most important before I get to this break.
Okay, well, that's it, man. I'll go ahead and let you go, Steve,
okay.
Man. I appreciate it, man.
Well, I appreciate that, James, and you do bring up a really great point, and we've talked about this a lot. Saying something negative when it comes to politics. I mean, we have always had disagreement in this country over politics from the beginning of our country. Saying something negative is not hate. It doesn't mean you hate the person. It might mean that you disagree. And it is okay in America to disagree. All right, I'm Scoot. I'm glad you have been with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to come back to wrap up the show next. On WWL. There are some studies that show that people are losing their religion, especially younger generations. Why do you think this is happening? Why are people becoming less religious? We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow afternoon. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller, and it's Tulane Tuesday. The Green Wave are 3-0. Coach John Summerall joins the guys at 4:35. And then at 7 o'clock, Saints Hour with Mike Haas. I want to thank our Program Director and Brand Manager, Diane Newman, Assistant Program Director and Brand Manager, and Senior Producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Chris Miller, and Traffic with Courtney P. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. If you haven't done it yet, download the Substack app and subscribe to Scoot on the Air on Substack, and I'll give you at least a video every day, and I would love for you to comment on the video, agree or disagree. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.